This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm joined in the studio by
Audrey Raj.
I'm Vinny Raj.
On this wet and rainy, was it Tuesday today?
It is a Tuesday.
Tuesday afternoon. Yeah. I'm just trying to keep track of where things are. I'm re-watching Game of Thrones at the minute, right? Mm-hmm, and you know what it's like when you watch one episode, you can't watch one episode, you have to watch two or sometimes three and sometimes
five.
Yeah. You lose sleep, one season. You lose track of days, mm-hmm. All of that kind of stuff. Anyway, folks, welcome to the show. Enough about my rambling. Let's tell you some of the stories that we've got lined up for today. A dash cam footage submission website goes live.
Yep.
Don't they do them on YouTube, though? So this is what's different about this?
This one's legal.
It's legal. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know it was illegal. Number two, a robot that will nag you to improve your posture at work. Mm-hmm. I could certainly do with one of these. I've been told time and time again, stop hunching. Even my mother says it. And she is a hunchback. Anyway, story three. She's a pretty hunchback, but she's a hunchback. Story three. Four reasons why the gig economy will only keep growing in numbers. Story four. No easy way out for victims of home abuse. That's a story from you, Ords.
Yes.
And then wrapping up, it's a story that we've covered a couple of times, but you know, just to reiterate, rejoice. Any coffee may help you live longer.
Yeah.
Coming back to that story one more time, because I just want to, you know. Anyway, let's start out with this dashcam footage submission website and what's important about it and why we should be looking at it.
Yeah, so like you said before, people were able to submit footage on YouTube and like or Vimeo, any kind of video submission site, but then it never went straight to the police. So now road users will be able to submit footage of dangerous driving to police in England and Wales using a platform set up by a dashcam manufacturer.
I see.
Yeah, so the website is designed by Nextbase dash cams. You can see that Nextbase dashcams.co.uk, and it allows visitors to upload videos before sending footage to the right police force. It also redirects visitors to those forces with their own submission websites. So it acts as a platform and then as a middleman for all these police stations and stuff. So if you have that footage, it figures out where it was taken, and then you sort of send it to the right department.
Smart.
So the reason for this is that there's been a lot of dash cams and handphones and ways to capture video in recent years. A lot of people install it in their cars as well. But there's no way for police to actually know where all the footage is coming from. So they send it to the police saying that this person drive recklessly and stuff. And then police are having a tough time sort of like accumulating.
Trying to figure out the location.
Yeah, location, and trying to figure out what to do with all the footage. So it's a fragmented system, and road users submit videos on social media. They send it through email, and then some of them even send in DVDs to the police stations and they have no idea how to compile all of this. So the new website,
I can just imagine the officer in charge, what's this?
Road Rage Volume 4.
bad boys.
Yeah. So the new website aims to streamline those submissions and make it easier for the police. So a process which previously took hours can now be reduced to a matter of minutes. So Joshua Harris, he's the director of campaigns at road safety charity Break. He hopes that the website will help the police process video evidence more efficiently. So overall, like a good initiative and a way to help the authorities like figure out who's driving recklessly, since they can't be at like multiple places at the same time, and then take action where it's necessary.
Smart company, this Nextbase. I mean, all it took, just somebody could have just set up a website using GPS data or you know, longitude and latitude and all that kind of stuff, and done the same thing. These guys have just gone, okay, well, let's just do that, but add our little logo to it and one thing or another. It's just a smart bit of business, really. Isn't it?
Yeah, I've always wondered how come we can't submit, or do you know if we can submit police reports online?
I don't know, actually.
Because what would work is if we could just log into a site and put in the details and then attach the video footage and submit it. That way you don't actually have to figure out where the location is coming from. I mean, all the information is there. This is where I saw this car. And then, you know, just attach the proof and then send it in. Because I think most people don't bother with making a police report sometimes because you've actually got to take yourself to the police station.
Right.
That's the case here, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's even possible.
I'm sure it is. Maybe. But the one thing I would see with that is that there would be a huge amount of people, an increase in police reports, I'd imagine, because people
definitely
could do it from home and they wouldn't have to go through that. The reason people don't go and make file a police report is, like you say, Audrey, you got to take yourself there to the actual station itself, which can be a whole day's experience sometimes even longer, depending on what it is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, why do you think like two people who get into an accident sometimes just want to settle it outside. Right. You know, it's just like, I'll pay you this much. We don't have to go to police station because it's so much paperwork. Yeah, I mean, we've seen that happen, no?
Yeah.
But yeah, so if I think if there was like a biometric sensor attached to your PC or to identify who you were, then you could make like police reports online.
Mm.
Because then they can validate that it's you for sure, instead of like anonymous reporting and just people spamming the police station and stuff.
That could be a big problem, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I am seeing a lot. In fact, my cab driver this morning had a dash cam. I am seeing an awful lot more of them.
Mm.
You know, do you have, either of you have one in your car?
No.
I don't, but I know that in Singapore almost like most cars do have it, yeah.
Okay, I'm curious to know the amount of users out there who are listening today, you know, if you're in your car, how many of you actually have a dash cam, you know, and explain to us a little bit perhaps why you have one in your car. Is it more about, I just want to have one? Is it more about, you know, just in case something happens?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it to kind of protect your own back a little bit in case, you know? Let us know on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, or get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. It is still wet and rainy out there, so be careful whilst you are driving. And if you do have a dash cam, you know.
I think the dash cams are most useful for insurance companies.
Right.
Because they come and take photos and stuff, but by the time then they have to depend on their pictures and all that stuff. But if they have video, like video evidence, then, you know, there's nothing that can dispute that.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, Arvin, you're still on duty.
Mm-hmm.
A minion-looking robot, it will nag you to improve your posture as you work.
Kind of like a minion-looking robot, and if you don't know what a minion looks like. But so it's like this cute little white Jetsons-looking robot that sits on your desk. It's an Alexa-connected gadget. It's on Kickstarter. Yeah, so it's still being funded. It's a miniature robot, and it's connected. It has a connected smart mat that will nag you to stand up straight if you're hunching or if you're sitting while hunched.
How does it know?
So what it does is it sort of captures your posture using, and then it uses its own algorithms, and when you move, it sort of moves with you. And when it tilts, then it knows that it is crouching or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and then it tells you to stand up straight.
Gotcha.
So it sort of follows your movements and stuff. So when you hunch, the robot hunches with you. And then you have to straighten yourself up for the robot to straighten itself up. And then it's like it's in line.
That's cute.
Yeah, yeah, it is cute. So it's called the Gyrobot. G-I-I-R-O-bot. And the associated mat referred is called the Gyro Mat. So it looks a bit like the Minions from Despicable Me, but it's white and it has like a black sort of helmet-looking thing on top to sort of get its balance and all that. So it uses more than 600 sensors that can detect 256 levels of pressure to draw a hyper-accurate map of how you stand. It tracks your posture over time, provides alerts, shows weight distribution in real time, and makes recommendations on ways to improve your posture. It sits on a desk and mimics your posture while you work, and it provides feedback with 9 different facial expressions by moving its legs and leaning in as the same direction as you.
And it's priced at a reasonable...
It's not so expensive.
$199 US for the pad and the robot.
Yeah, so that's about $800.
Right.
Yeah, for both of it.
To potentially save your posture.
Yeah. Do we know how it will alert you about your bad posture?
It has a screen that shows you facial expressions.
Ah.
So if you are sort of like, you know, you're slumping or whatever, then it has like a frowny face.
So it doesn't beep or anything like, or say something like, hey, sit up or stop slouching.
Maybe if it's at home, then it might be, but it doesn't say anything about beeping. It just says that the only way for it to communicate with you is through its facial expressions.
If I had one on my desk, or you'd be constantly being disturbed. It'd be like, beep, 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 beep.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Richard, turn that off. You know, give it the frowny face.
No, but the other thing is, I think if it doesn't actually make a sound, or if it doesn't alert you audibly, then you can just ignore it. If you're just so busy and you were slouched over your PC and just like getting work done, put your head down, get your work done, and not look at it, does it not like say, hey?
Yeah.
I think it needs to be...
It needs to be a little bit more aggressive, perhaps.
But I think if you have it at work, then you wouldn't want something like beeping beside you. Like
exactly.
If you had a colleague that had that on their desk, you wouldn't want to hear beeps all the time or every time they sort of slouched.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. These guys, so they also... The same company that makes this, the Gyrobot, they also came up with something called the Gaze Desk. So that is a standing desk. They were funded $150,000. And they found out that standing standing desks alone are not enough to correct posture. So they say that you need something else on your standing desk or your sitting desk to tell you if you're slouching too much.
Uh-huh.
So that's why they're coming up with this. So they have delivered before, and they were fully funded with this gaze desk, G-A-Z-E. So it's not like they are new to the game or something. They just...
We can trust them.
We can trust them. And then once they get enough funding, they say that they will ship out in March 2019. So not too far away, like 8 months. 8 months.
Odds.
Yes.
Have we got anything?
Oh, yes.
On the Twitters or on the WhatsApps?
Yes, we do. So this is from Ahmad Victoria Kuram, and he says, I have a dash cam to protect myself in the case of criminal intimidation or even accidents. I have a friend that is involved in a hit and run accident, and he was lucky that his rear dash cam had captured the suspect's car plate. Mm-hmm. I myself have been involved in a few minor incidents with dash cam as proof. It's so important to have a dash cam nowadays.
Interesting.
Yes, and then we've got another message here by unnamed messenger and with the numbers ending 9364. And he or she just says they have an app called VSP, but limited services. We'll take a look at what VSP is during the break and come back with more information.
Mm-hmm. Again, if you want to get in touch and let us know whether or not you do have a dash cam, what do you use it for? We're quite keen to kind of get some numbers on this. 018-789-8899. We're going to take a short break. We've got some music coming up from Metric. It is Dead Disco. And when we get back, four reasons why the gig economy will only keep growing in numbers. You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Build financial mountains. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Padri Raj.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
A little bit of information regarding the SVP.
It's the VSP.
VSP. Oh,
yes,
sorry.
Yes, by an anonymous texter who alerted us about the VSP. So just a quick check, and we found that the VSP is actually an app called the Volunteer Smartphone Patrol. It's by the Polis Diraja Malaysia. It's by our cops themselves. So it is a new innovation by PDRM to help the public channel information or complaints to the cops. So some of the things that you can do on this VSP app, you can make a complaint and to the cops. You can also supply them with information on the Balik Kampung Rush during festive seasons. And it's also a directory of some sorts, because they have all the addresses and phone numbers to the cops contingent headquarters to help people kind of find the closest police station to make reports or to give information.
But we can't make a police report using the app.
I think it says here, aduan menyalurkan maklumat kepada pihak polis melalui VSP. So I guess you can make complaints, but I don't think you can make like a police report.
An official report. Mm. Okay. Odds, what was the show you did just a few minutes ago? About 11 o'clock?
Yes. So at 11 a.m. on Resource Center, we did a show called The Workforce of the Future with the guys from DXC Technology. And it was basically about how people in the future, or actually right now, are beginning to move into taking work on a freelance basis. So in the future, all you could need is a cloud-based crowdsourcing of jobs kind of platform. And there are many out there already. And you could work, right here in Malaysia for a company in the States, and you could be doing multiple jobs a day as and when you like. And it's great for retirees.
And if you're interested in listening to that podcast, you can find it over at www.bfm.my podcast, or you can download our app from the Apple App Store or Google Play, of course, and have a listen back at your leisure. What's it called?
It's called The Workforce of the Future, and how the freelance economy is actually a subset of the gig economy, which
funny
we're going to talk about.
Funny enough, you should say that. Four reasons why the gig economy will only keep growing in numbers. See how smooth that was. Right now, more than one in three workers are freelance in the US, right? So this is a story I got out of Forbes. Of the freelancers who are over 55, 49% are using supplemental gig work to help fund their eventual retirement.
Mm.
You see, when they say over 55 and then they add in eventual retirement in the same sentence, that's when I get a little bit worried. But this contributes to the overall growth of the gig economy. But the news isn't all good. Overall, 40% of freelance workers worry that they will not be able to retire comfortably, yet they're not giving up on their vocation. Further, the workforce share of gig work rose from 10.1% in 2005 to 15.8% in 2015. By 2020, half of the US workers will be freelancers. So let's look at some of the reasons behind this trend. So number one, the educational gap may be contributing to the growing gig economy.
Mm.
So it's predicted that by 2020, the United States will have 1.5 million fewer college-educated workers than the economy needs. Another 6 million will not even have completed high school. This is in spite of the fact that college attendance and graduation rates have improved overall and more people are taking degrees online. Number two, changing attitudes towards work is driving more people to freelancing. So as the millennials, as we keep referring to them, but they're not, you know, as the younger people move into business management and members of Generation Z begin participating in the workforce, existing attitudes about work are changing. The option to freelance is becoming more appealing because it allows members of these generations to prioritize the things that are important to them. In fact, 43% list having a flexible schedule as the most important reason to work independently. If you listen to yesterday's show, we spoke about the whole idea of work-life balance. A lot of the bigger higher-up CEOs are no longer calling it work-life balance. They're calling it work-life integration. So you don't separate the two. You integrate the two. Number three, employers are increasingly using gig workers to lower costs and meet project needs. I think that's something we're all very clear of. Mm-hmm. The gig worker is often viewed as an economy hire. 66% of large companies are using freelancers and other gig workers to lower labor costs. The desire to cut down overheads will not likely disappear in the future, as we can probably guess. Additionally, 58% of mid-market companies report that a significant driver behind their use of gig workers is to access skills and experience that is not available in their current workforce. You know, so let's say, for example, you need somebody to work on a specific project. You can't hire them full time because you won't need them after that particular project.
Yep.
Hire somebody who has that skill set for a certain period of time and then let them go when they're done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Works for both people, right? Number four, technology and infrastructure are growing to accommodate freelancers. Like you said, or it's cloud computing, advanced network, and other technologies have combined to make working remotely a possibility for people across the globe. A few years ago, this wasn't even possible. I had friends who just a few years ago were saying, you know, I'm going to move to Bali. I'm going to work from Bali. I'm going to be a web developer. And I'm like, how are you going to do that? You know, didn't even occur to me that that was a possibility back then.
Yes.
You know, and now I have friends who are doing it. You know, they wake up, they have their coconut. They sit on the beach and they do their web program.
They develop websites.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate these people with a passion, and I'm very jealous of them. No, but you know, a few years ago it wasn't possible, but now in highly developed urban areas, there simply wasn't the telecommunication infrastructure for people to work efficiently. Now, like I just say, you can be in a cafe in the middle of Bali, you can be up in the mountains in Vietnam somewhere, and you can be doing these kind of jobs if you have that skill set. You could pretty much be anywhere that you want to be if you have a fairly decent, stable internet.
Yes.
You know, and people know that your work is reliable, right?
Yeah.
And if you guys know people who work within this gig economy doing this kind of stuff,
like freelancers?
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother's a freelancer.
Yeah. I've seen him, right?
Yes. Everyone's seen him.
You look very similar.
Yeah. But I think I can bet that if banks and sort of like other institutions made it easier for gig workers or freelancers to sort of get loans or buy cars or stuff like that, then more people would be in the gig economy.
For sure.
Yeah. The reason a lot of people don't opt to do something like that is because they don't have that sort of assurance or like safety. Because when you they have to do the EPF contribution thing, and if they don't do that, or they decide to put in less, or they just are starting off freelancing the first couple of years, then banks don't give them loans. You cannot get a car, you cannot opt for any of these other services, and then they look at you as not having
a real job.
A real job or like any kind of income. But I can guarantee you that if they had all that backup, more people would be in the gig economy.
Yeah.
There's the other side to that as well, as in like SOXO contribution.
Right.
You know, and also like I think one of the biggest issues with Grab and Uber drivers over the past few years is like they have no voice when it comes to dealing with their employers.
Mm.
So it's on a freelance basis. But then again, you know, you can't form a union either.
Right.
You know, so what is the future for the freelance economy, for the gig economy? Mm. Will they have to build unions in order to protect themselves and, for someone to safeguard their security?
But I mean, it's a huge issue in terms of like the knock-on effects it can have in all different industries. If you, like you say, you know, you can't get a loan from the banks for one reason or another. Insurance is another issue that becomes a bit of a problem if you're a freelancer, you know. Mm. So you could have insurance companies re-looking at these freelancers and thinking, well, how can we accommodate these people, you know, so that they are covered, you know, and they feel comfortable in their coverage, but they're not going to take advantage of us. And, you know, little things like that would make huge, massive changes. You'd see people moving out of offices and into their homes and onto beaches in Bali and things.
In Ubud and stuff like that.
That sounds good.
Yeah, doesn't it just? Right.
And also you can just like supplement your income. I think that's another thing. Like, you know, people who work 9 to 5 or if they have slightly flexible working hours, then they leave about 4, then they go into their Grab I want to say Uber, but they go into their Grab.
Right.
And then they, you know, they make a small additional income on the side. Right. It helps them out.
I mean, and let's be honest, who wouldn't want to be their own boss? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody kind of dreams of that. Oh, I want my own business. I'd like to do my own thing. I'd like to, you know, do my own working hours. It's a great idea. But like you say, all of these constraints that we're given is the thing that I think stops us from moving forward.
The own boss thing, I would disagree. I don't think they would. They are their own boss because they still answer to, you know, like higher ups, and then they still have their clients and stuff. But I think they answer even more than regular employees do. Like they have more to answer for because they are not sort of bound to the company. So they have they're always, you know, kept on tab and stuff. Mm. But in that sense, no, I don't think they have that much freedom. They make it look like that. But even the developers who are sitting on the beach in Bali and stuff, I think they answer more to their superiors than we do.
Mm.
I think this is great for, well, two other categories, the retirees. Sometimes people retire at 55 and then they just sit and do nothing, and then they kind of just spiral into nothingness. And they fall ill much quicker than if they were busy and able to do something, like find a purpose in life post-retirement, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, there's all the mothers who left work in order to take care of their kids. And then once their kids go back to school, they want to get back into the working world. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult because you've kind of lost experience. You've got to upskill yourself and things like that. But these women who leave, they have skills of their own and they will be useful in the corporate world. So, you know, if with the gig economy, they could get back in there and do it at their own leisure.
I mean, I have a friend who has difficulty being around people, right? He has a fear of being around people.
Anxiety.
And anxiety. And that was always something that prevented him from moving into a full-time position into the workforce. I mean, he's a very similar age to what I am. And he decided fairly recently to take up coding. You know, he'd never done it before, you know, and he's progressed very, very quickly. And in an extremely short space of time, he's gotten him, this is within 2 years, he's gotten himself to a position where he can accept and start doing work from wherever he is, feel comfortable, provide the work that he needs. He's got an income. So for those people as well who, you know, just don't want to be around other people, and sometimes we don't, you know, it can appeal for those kind of people, depending on what it is that you're doing.
That's true.
I like this idea. I think the gig economy really does have legs, and I think that there's a few things that we need to tweak.
Yes.
But I really do see this as how many of us, or many of our kids and their grandkids, will be working in the future, I think.
Also, it's sort of immune to automation.
Yeah.
Most of the stuff that people in the gig economy do is immune, like designers, drivers, until automated cars show up.
Yeah.
Lots of jobs in the gig economy are immune to, like Teflon. To automation and stuff.
Very good point.
Nice.
Yeah. I like that little quote. They're like Teflon.
They're like Teflon.
Time to take a break. We've got some music coming up. We've got some Stevie Ray Vaughan with The House Is Rockin', followed by some Styx with Boat on the Water. Don't forget, we started off the show, with a story. I don't know where that came from. A story about dash cam footage. And, you know, there's now a website that's popped up where you can submit your dash cam footage in the UK right now. Mm-hmm. But I assume it will be rolling out at some point. And we asked you if you guys at home do have dash cams and what do you use them for. Let us know via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, or get us on WhatsApp on Twitter at BFM Radio. And let us know what you think about that. Why do you use them? We're going to take a short break. Music coming up here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. My name is Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Arvind Viraj
and Audrey Raj.
So we asked you guys to get in touch regarding dashcam footage and whether or not you have a dashcam and if you use it or not, or you know, other uses of these kind of dashcams. 201-8789-8899 or on Twitter at BFM Radio. We had another message during the break from
This is from Tenny. So Tenny says, "Don't bother talking about webcams on cars because I just saw a bike cam yesterday on the left bar bracket top in a covered box." So even bikes have them.
I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean,
it's like a GoPro, no?
Yeah, well, I assume so. Except probably less resolution and cheaper.
I guess,
right?
Yeah.
Good idea, though.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes sense. You know, I mean, I've seen a lot of kind of bike accidents happen here in Malaysia as well. Go on, Audrey, another one.
Yes, another one from Amin Azam coming in via Twitter. And he says, "The first thing I did was to get a basic dash cam for my car. One day, my car got keyed, but I couldn't find the culprit because the dash cam wasn't recording. I now use a front rear dash cam with parking mode, which means it records even while the engine isn't running."
Smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody goes near your car at any time of the day? you know, you're going to see him, aren't you?
Yes.
Who keyed your card? Let us know. 018-789-8899.
Awful. Why would anyone key another person's card?
Idiots. Right. Okay, moving on to this story. For victims of smart home abuse, there's no easy way out. This is a New York Times report.
Yes, so this story just freaked me out, so I had to share it. The New York Times recently published a report that revealed a disturbing trend of harassment and domestic abuse via internet-connected devices. So this is the downside of the IoT, Internet of Things. In addition to using them to stalk and monitor their victims, abusers are also doing things like changing door lock codes, turning lights on and off, and boosting the thermostat to unbearable heat. So in short, they're making their victims' lives miserable.
It sounds like something out of The Exorcist.
Yeah, and you'll literally be living in hell. Because imagine if like the temperature was up,
right?
Especially like here in Malaysia, that would just be awful. So on the surface, this seems like a relatively straightforward problem to solve. Just change your password or unplug your the devices, right? Except the issue here is twofold. Not only are the devices sometimes solely controlled by the abuser, but oftentimes making these changes will result in even worse abuse, especially if the couple is still living together. Mm-hmm. So asking these victims to just stop using the devices, like telling them to just leave their abuser, which we all know there's more to it than that. Yeah. It gets more complex, and the victims could be putting their lives in danger by doing either of these things, right? So what can you do? So luckily, this article came with a bunch of suggestions. First, security experts interviewed said that the best tool one can have is an awareness of both their devices and surroundings. So everyone should know how many smart home products are in their house. If possible, they should get a unique credential, a unique login name and password for each of those household members. So not one person is controlling the device. So you've got to find out how it works, how it's configured. You've got to arm yourself with that awareness. Then if the abusive partner has left home and the remaining person wants to continue using the same devices, experts say they should try resetting them to factory settings, so make a hard reset of the device. Another countermeasure not to be overlooked would be to replace any device, since they may have been physically tampered with in such a way that they would remain compromised even after a hard reset. Now, that is just scary.
Yeah.
Now, if you think that is scary, it's going to get worse right now, because women can end up looking paranoid, the article says. This is especially the case with abuse involving the smart home, because complaining about things like the lights turning on and off may seem or sound a little crazy, right? Mm-hmm. And then the experts suggest that victims work with a domestic violence advocate who's savvy about technology. Additionally, they advise abuse victims to go as low tech as possible. So for the next few weeks or months until, you know, this kind of dies down, you've got to stick to using, you know, a pad and paper to take notes, maybe, you know, get a flip phone instead of a smartphone, and to constantly check their belongings for trackers like RFID tags and Bluetooth fobs. So yeah, and you also, they said to avoid transportation like Uber or Grab, because that uses an app, right? And just in case that app is used to track them. So this is getting just scary. You're going down a deeper, darker hole. And if they can afford it, analysts also recommend using a private investigator with expertise in counter threat measures. The investigators can sweep cars and houses to make sure there are no hidden cameras or microphones or signs of electronic tampering. Now, it's really unfortunate that victims have to go through such lengths to get away from constant surveillance, but this is the reality that many abused people are living in. And I did a quick check, right? Back in 2015, cybercrime, I think like 30 KLites or Malaysians suffer from cybercrime every day. That was back in 2015. So when IoT really becomes rife and, you know, we start living in this age where everything is automated, you know, and our fridge stocks itself, or, you know, we walk into a house that is at the perfect temperature and with the lights on at the right time and it turns off by itself, as we move into that age, this is going to become a real issue. Mm. So we need to know how to protect ourselves. Mm.
Just in case, you know, you are or you need to contact somebody, you are a victim of domestic abuse or anything like that, the Women's Aid organization has a hotline. It is 03-7956-3488. It's open Monday to Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. That number again, 03-7956-3488. Let's take some music, shall we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A little bit of The Verve with Love Is Noise here on Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's almost time for us to wrap up today, but I'm hoping you're feeling kind of awake, and if you're not, you know, let's have a story about coffee.
Yay!
One of my favorite things in the entire world. You were talking to me this morning about, Indian brew coffee.
Brew coffee.
Yeah. What's special about brew coffee? It's got chicory in, I understand.
It does.
Right.
I mean, what's special about brew coffee is that it's brew coffee.
That's not enough, Arvin. That's not selling it to
has
me.
I don't know how to describe it. It doesn't taste like other normal coffees.
Okay.
It's very specific. There's only brew coffee tastes anything like brew coffee.
Do you have milk and sugar in it or anything like that?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now
yes.
I'm curious.
But I think you can only make it with fresh milk.
Okay.
You cannot use like condensed milk. You
all
cannot
the UHT
use
stuff.
Full cream.
Or
no. It has to be fresh milk.
But okay. It's good coffee.
It's good, is it?
It's good coffee.
Okay. I need to be educated. Mm-hmm. Right. Here's the final story of the day. Drink up, my coffee fiends. Yet another story, this time published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's journal, the JAMA Internal Medicine, rather, is encouraging us coffee lovers to just brew it, right? So the study from the US National Cancer Institute used information from more than 500,000 British volunteers who provided blood samples and answered detailed health and lifestyle questions. Almost one-third of those in the study drank 2 or 3 cups of coffee daily, and 10,000 guzzled at least 8 cups daily. I like my coffee. I could not do 8 cups. I would be potentially having a heart attack. After 10 years of the study, results have shown that non-coffee drinkers were more likely to have died than those who didn't drink coffee.
How many people did they study?
It was 500,000.
Half a million.
More than 500,000 volunteers, yeah. So, I'll say that again. Excuse me. Decaf, instant, fancy, pricey coffee from that gourmet shop down the road. Apparently the type of coffee doesn't matter, just drink it. And the coffee gene you may have heard about didn't affect things either. Earlier studies suggested that those with the variants in the gene called CYP1A2, of course we all know that, right? Mm-hmm. Might metabolize caffeine more slowly and thus end up with a higher risk of blood pressure or a heart attack. But this study showed no extra risk for those with the genetic variant. We've all guzzled down these findings before. Just last summer, 2 separate studies delivered similar good news about coffee and mortality. Now, the study team may delve into how the drink was prepared to see if the choice of unfiltered coffee and filtered coffee can affect health too. But for now, it's right there in black and white. This study, quote, provides further evidence that coffee drinking can be part of a healthy diet and offers reassurance to coffee drinkers.
So if you can have decaf,
yes,
and still get the benefits, then what is it in the coffee that's, you know, benefiting them?
The caffeine that keeps you awake.
The caffeine itself.
Yes.
Right.
No, I don't know. In the decaf stuff, I'm assuming it's just the taste, you know, or it's just some of the, because there's quite a bunch of chemicals within coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just caffeine, obviously. But there is stuff in there. Why are you asking me to go into depth in this? I have no idea, Arvin.
I know.
Read the report.
We just like coffee and now have another reason to do it.
A valid reason to not worry about my health. Now I've been told officially by the American Medical Association that coffee is safe to drink.
Okay, this sounds like a WhatsApp message.
Yes. It does actually. Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about
it. Like a WhatsApp message.
Okay, we need to wrap up, ladies and gents. But don't forget, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. Before we get to that, though, we'll quickly run through the stories that we covered for today. We started off with...
We spoke about how dashcam footage submission goes live through a website at nextbasedashcams.co.uk. They sort of channel it to the right police departments. Then we also spoke about a robot that nags you to improve your posture at work.
That's not grandma that you brought to work.
Right, no. That's true. Although that would be really interesting, that a little grandma sat on your desk, sit up straight.
We would never have to worry about lunch,
right? Oh,
imagine that, grandma at work.
I've ordered you lunch, dear. Thank you, grandma. Perfect. Have you paid for it too?
Ordered your lunch. Yeah. Indian grandma would have cooked you lunch.
That's true.
A lot of lunch.
Yeah, a lot of lunch. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be sleeping the afternoon off. Mm-hmm. Right. Story number three. 4 reasons why the gig economy will only keep growing in numbers. Education is changing. The attitude towards work is changing. A whole bunch of other stuff. We will post links to these stories on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Story number four
was about that New York Times report that revealed a disturbing trend of harassment and domestic abuse via internet-connected devices, and also we gave you some of the tips or steps that you can do to protect yourself.
And then story 5, rejoice, any coffee may help you live longer.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for today, though, folks. But as I mentioned earlier, coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. Our guest was Richard Record.
Richard Reckitt.
Anyway, him. The World Bank launched its Malaysia Economic Monitor on the 2nd of July. The Breakfast Grill discussed the report with its lead author, Richard Reckitt, and his projections for the Malaysian economy. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. I'm being laughed at. It's time to take us out of the studio with some money. Some music. It is the wonderful Stevie Wonder with I Was Made to Love Her. That's coming up right now here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.